1 John, chapter 5, reading from verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. But for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Amen, and may the Lord bless to us that reading of his holy and infallible word. Our text is found at the end of verse 4 this morning. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. One ponders and wonders what will the mark be of this century. Every century has its own mark. There are industrial revolutions, social revolutions, there are wars and all kinds of things that mark centuries. What will be the mark of this century come the end of it, I ask myself. Will it be the present unbelief that marks it even now in these first 24 years? Or will we see reformation? Will we see a return to God's truth, to the Word of God, in the church and out of it? Will we see revival of the Christian religion? Will we see an end of the tyranny of dogmatic unbelief and reason? Will this century see the end of the idolatry of the material and the worship of the senses? There's the threat of another. There's the threat of the Third World War. Will that be the mark of this century, the rising force of Islam in our nation? Will it come to the ascendancy? Will that be the national religion in England this century? The threats are real. Of course, that's the world. That's the world in which we live. But faith overcomes the world, all these issues that we are faced with in the world. Faith overcomes, says John. Faith implants new life, new power. The power, he says in John 1 verse 12, to become children of God through faith in his name, the Son of God. The power to love God and to love our neighbour as we ought to do in accordance with God's word. The power to obey God's commandments. But John tells us in chapter 4 and verse 10, it's God's love that comes first. He must first love us before we can love him. This is the gospel, isn't it? His reconciling love that John tells us in chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son in reconciling love, that through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be reconciled to him, receive this new life, this new power, this power to overcome the world. It happens. It happens to everyone, John says, who is born of God, who is born again. It happens. How does it happen? Things that happen have a cause. What's the cause? God is the cause. Born of God, all who are born of God, that old natural contempt for God in our souls naturally is gone, and it astonishes and amazes even ourselves. We have this desire for righteousness. Everything, all changes. A transformation, and the power, the dynamis to conquer the world, says John. This is the apostle of love, as he's called. Yeah. He wasn't that by nature. There was a time when he was a real firebrand. Jesus says so in Mark 3 verse 17. John, he says, a son of thunder, Boanerges, which means strong, impulsive, harsh, impatient, proud, contemptuous. You'd hardly believe that as you read his gospel, as you read his letters. The apostle of love. What happened? He was born of God. That's what happened. He was born again. And Jesus, he tells us, well, he says, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. Happened to John. Has it happened to you? Maybe it will happen for you today, I don't know. But the title is The World Conquering Power of Faith. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, the opposition to faith, the character of faith, and the victory of faith. The opposition to faith, the world. John speaks a lot about the world. What does he mean by this word world? This world, he says, it's anti-Christian. He says there's enmity there in it. He says, and it's not an overreach, he even says it's demonic. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world, all of it, he says, lieth, is under the sway, under the power of the evil one, of Satan, the devil. It's a demonic world, says John. It's fallen by man's sin, it's been unmade. And now, in its every part, it is opposed to God, it's in service to Satan, and it's in service to sin. There are even angels who have lost their first place. Man, now my natural generation, is conceived in sin, is born in sin, lives and dies in sin, and goes to goes to hell in their sin, lest the grace of God comes to them, the sovereign grace of God comes to them, and they are born of God and brought and fetched to faith in Jesus Christ. Man now, by natural generation, has a nature in him. All mankind, that is, natures that think evil and that do evil, they are weapons of unrighteousness. This is the world that John describes here in all of his writings. All of it, the total of mankind, all of humanity. It includes the world's, all the world's endeavors in the sphere of the family, in the sphere of the state, government, in the sphere of business, in its civilizing and its degenerating. Every century is different. Civilization comes in one, degeneration comes in another, up and down, all the time. Empires, institutions of men, all of them under the sway of the evil one. Even, Paul tells us in Romans 8, even the very earth itself is cursed because of man's sin and groans waiting for the renewal of all things. All this is in one word that John uses here in his letters. World. All this. And the result of one man's sin. Cause and effect. Take away the sin, and you have a beautiful world, the one that God made. Sin is the cause, is the disease. The effect is the world as it is now. As it is now. The world totally, this world totally, lives out of one principle, one spirit, one goal, opposition to its maker, its lawgiver, and its judge. But for God, John 3:16, God so loved the world. God has not given up his creation. The word world there means the entirety of God's creation, not just mankind. God so loved his creation. There's a, if I may put it this way, there's a stubborn holiness in God. He won't give up on his creation. He won't give up on the world. And his intention is to save a people out of it. Whosoever believeth, that is, in Jesus, shall not perish, not die in their sin, not go up in flames with the world, but shall be saved, shall have everlasting life, and be part of that new heaven and that new earth that God will bring in the end. God so loved this bad, bad, evil world that he gave, in his love he gave his one and only, his eternal Son. But out of Christ, we are of the world. Apart from Christ, apart from faith in Christ, we're part of that world. And of course, our hearts, our natures, well, our consciences testify. Conscience with, con with, science, knowledge with knowledge. We have that inner knowledge, we have that conscience, we have a conscience within us that testifies that we are morally accountable creatures. Romans 1 verse 32. We have this consciousness within us that God has a quarrel with us, with man. And apart from faith in Jesus Christ, all shall perish under his terrible, terrible wrath. Think about it. God and his world that he created, God and the world, are at odds, are at war with one another. World, mankind, at war against his maker, against his lawgiver, against his judge. Man who is absolutely powerless, who has no existence in himself. Even Satan, the devil, is dependent upon God for his existence. All, everything, the world, everything in it and every creature in it, mankind, is sustained by the word of his power. He removes his power, he removes our sustenance, and we're all vaporized. But man in sin takes everything in the world, he takes everything that God gives him, skills, crafts, intellect, every gift that he's given, he takes, he uses it, and he turns God's world into the domain of Satan, its ruler and its prince, who seeks by violence to overcome God and to overcome his kingdom. Well, I ask you, who could overcome such? Who could overcome? This is the victory that overcometh the world, says John, even our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ, that is. Turn to one like them. Look to the philosophies of men, to its science. Look to the politicians. Look to the world leaders, the presidents and the prime ministers, the kings and the princes of this world. One like them. Problem is that the world's not just outside of them. The world's not just around them. Natural born into this world, it's in us. The world is in us. It's how we come from our mother's womb, conceived in sin, born in sin, with the world in us, and we in the world. It's in our minds, it's in our wills, it's in our affections, our desires. We walk, Paul says in Ephesians 2, we walked according to the course of this world, according to its principles, according to its power, according to its cultures. But the world's not of the Father. That's not of the Father, but the world. But there's none. We can't look to one of them, can we? To overcome this sad, broken world? Because there's none of them who stands against the world. They, all of them, to a man, to a woman, to a child, serve the world willingly, and with every God-given gift, serve the world. And so all together, all mankind, every one of us, by natural generation, naturally born, with the world, this world that John speaks of, guilty, impure, damnable, on the path to destruction. Eternal, everlasting destruction. So who will deliver us from the world and its sin and its guilt? Who will enable us to overcome? He, says John, that is born of God, overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ, in the Son of God. But secondly, the character of this faith. Well, John says it's of God, verse 1. Born of God, faith comes through regeneration, comes through God's regenerating work in us. When did it happen to the 12 disciples? There's the general thinking, I think, with most people is that the 12, that they were believers all the way through the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not so. John didn't believe until after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither did Peter, neither did any of the rest of them. In John 20 and verse 8, we're told there, Peter and John, they go to the tomb, the empty tomb, to see what's happened. And John sees the very first evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He sees the grave clothes in which Jesus was bound. He sees and he testifies himself, John 20 verse 8, he testifies himself, he saw, and what he saw caused him to believe. That's where it happened for John. Peter, it came later. He says, he testifies in his first letter in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he says, God, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, born again that is, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brought both Peter and John to faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It happens, and it happens to different people different ways. I was reading just the other day of a teacher in a university in North America. He was a hardened atheist and a communist as well, and most of his students were the same. And he was wonderfully saved. He was converted. And his students, of course, began to mock him mercilessly. And they asked him the question. They said, "What? How could you possibly believe that nonsense?" they say to him. His answer: "It happened to me." Didn't say he did anything. He said, "It happened to me. God came to him. Sovereignly, by his Spirit, he was reborn." Salvation, Jonah tells us, was of the Lord. There was a professor of theology at Westminster Seminary. He received a phone call from one of his students on a Saturday evening, and the student asked him, how would you summarize the entire Bible? And the professor said to him, Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. That's how I would sum it up. Jonah, he was that prophet who tried to escape from God's call. Ended up in the belly of the whale. Jonah gets a lot of bad press, you know. He's called a coward. He ran away, you know, and all this, you know. But that's nonsense. Jonah was a type of Christ. He was for Israel, and he knew exactly what God was planning to do with the Assyrians. He was going to use them to whack Israel, and Jonah doesn't like that. So he thinks he can avoid the issue by escaping. Of course, God that happened. God has him swallowed up by the whale, and of course he's there in the belly of the whale. He's come to an end of himself. There's no way out of this. There's only one person who can save him from this. Salvation is of the Lord. He cries out to the Lord, and the Lord delivers him from the belly of the whale. But of course, what Jonah doesn't understand, what he doesn't get, is that God is going to use the Assyrians. That's why he sends them to Nineveh, because he's going to use the Assyrians for the very, very same purpose concerning Israel. Because they eventually come against Israel, 185,000 battle-hardened troops arrayed against Israel, and Hezekiah doesn't know which way to turn, and he turns to Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah gets on his knees, cries out to the Lord. There's only one person who can deliver them from this. Salvation is of the Lord. So both Jonah and Israel, they're brought to that place. Their only hope is in God. Salvation is of the Lord. Yeah. They're brought to see their need, a point of crisis. It's a sovereign work of the character of faith. It's a sovereign work of God, God's Holy Spirit. Man vainly searches for deliverance, you know, from his fellow creatures. We look to science, and we look to politicians and psychologists and all the rest of it, you know. But here, beloved, this morning, God puts his word before you. Yeah? Once again, week by week, he sends his servants to you. What for? Paul says in Acts 26, he says, to open your eyes and to turn you from the darkness. That's the rebirth. That's the new birth. That's what it means to be born again. The light switched on in your heart and mind. And you see, I get it. I understand what it's about now. But until he switches the light on, remain in the darkness. And well, John tells us what the effect, the light switched on, this is the effect, he says. Well, you believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's the first one, yeah? And then you love other Christians, you love God's people, and you love God, of course, and you keep his commandments. Yeah, they're not grievous to you anymore. Before you thought the commandments were grievous, that they were a burden to you. The commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's a call to faith, to trust in your maker, your lawgiver, your judge. But oh, you would none of that. But now you love that commandment. Now you trust in your maker, lawgiver, judge. Now he's your redeemer as well. You hear the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, that's boring, you say. Rather go to the alehouse, rather go to the football park. You hear the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Restraint, restriction. Now you see it. No, now I see, now I understand. It's for our protection. It's to protect me from false religion and idolatry. It's to protect me. It's to protect my spiritual health. The Sabbath day. It's to protect marriages and human sexuality. It's a commandment of love. And now you love, you delight in those commandments and obey those commandments. But belief comes first, verse 1. So it happens. I'm sent to you. What am I sent? I ask myself that question every Sunday morning. I go to a church. What have I been sent for? You've been sent, Jimmy, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness, from the world to Christ. That's what he sent me for. So it happens, you see, it happens. Maybe you'll go away from here today and you'll say to somebody, well, it happened. It happened to me. It's morning. The cause. Every happenstance has a cause. God is the cause. Verse 1. And the faith conquers, the faith delivers. Is John mocking? Is John, you know, is he mocking us here? John, are you for real? Over the world, its power out there, all that intellect and all that, all these powerful people, these powerful leaders, all the military might and all the media resources. We, simply by believing Jesus, we can overcome all that. Are you kidding us, John? No, he says, I'm not. Because what are the real issues? The real issues are sin and its guilt. Yours. The real issues are your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame, your unholy, the death that is a certainty, and the judgment of God that will follow on its heels. Inevitable. That's what must be overcome. That's the world. Now you tell me, what branch of science ever saved anybody from any one of those? Huh? What sphere of the world, I ask you, huh? Ever removed the power of guilt, to enable a man or woman to stand before God in complete confidence, knowing no terror and no condemnation. What part of this world can perform that? Huh? What piece of beautiful artistry, I ask you, can enable a person, a man or woman, to live and die in comfort? What government, I ask you, what state, what prince, what ruler, what prime minister, what president ever changed the hearts of their citizens and brought them into a willing and loving obedience to them and to their laws? Show me one. All of these are used to serve and promote nothing but sin in opposition to God, their maker, their lawgiver, and their judge. But faith, let me tell you about faith, what faith can do. Listen. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And what more shall I say? He goes on and talks about the heroes of the Christian faith through those generations. And all the heroes since, even today, in far countries, Pakistan and India, there are men and women who love Jesus. Their houses have been burned. They themselves have been burned alive. Simply because they believe in Jesus, love Jesus. Because they've been born of God. Yeah. All those heroes, even now and to the very end of the age, faith delivers from the world, overcomes the world. Paul says the very selfsame thing, Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, who gave himself, Jesus that is, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, wicked world. This present evil world, he's talking about from the beginning to the end. It begins with a trickle like a river, you know? And it gets wider and deeper. Something like the Mississippi in America, you know? Starts up in Minnesota, just a little trickle, and it gets wider and deeper, down through the southern states, and then finally it plunges into the Gulf of Mexico. That's a picture of this present evil world. It begins with a trickle with Adam's sin. It's organic. It grows. You see, it develops. It gets wider and deeper, and all kinds of rubbish, human rubbish, is thrown into it. And then at the end, it plunges not into the Gulf of Mexico, but into eternal damnation. That's this evil world, says Paul. Christ died on the cross, sacrificed for our sins to deliver us, save us, rescue us from this present evil world. Faith overcomes the world, says John. But it's not faith from within. It's not a faith that I work up myself. Verse 1, it's of God. It's of God. Faith that somebody works in of themselves, produces themselves, that's the world's religion. It has its own religion. Yeah. Religious atheism, I call it. You know, Islam, Mecca, Rome, all the different cults and sects, it's just religious atheism. Superstition. And that religion, the world's religion, supports the world. Yeah, doesn't overcome it. It's only faith in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world. Faith that believes. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died for their sins and rose again from the dead to justify them. The historical person of Jesus. That we have the record here, says John. This is his record. God's record concerning his only begotten Son. The historical person, the man of sorrows, the only begotten of the Father. He and he alone, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by his resurrection from the dead. He is faith's content and he is faith's object. Not lip faith. Not intellectual faith, supernatural faith given of God. And it is, well, true faith, the Heidelberg Catechism tells us, is not only a certain knowledge, which it is, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, or you may not understand it all yet, but you realize this is God's word. And whether I understand it or not, this is his word and I believe it. I believe all of it. All the arguments about creation and evolution are gone. About human sexuality are gone. It's all gone. This is God's word, what he says. What saith the scripture? Unshakable, ineradicable trust. An assured confidence, says the Catechism. An assured confidence, again, with faith. Which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel, the preaching of the gospel here this morning to open the eyes, turn from the darkness in my heart, that not only to others but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given me by God merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits. Unshakable trust. It's not of blood, it's not of the will of man, it's not of the flesh. Verse 1, it's of God. Born of God. The power of faith. The power to translate a man, a woman, a child into the kingdom of God's love. That brings a firm foundation, rock, granite under your feet. The proof, the evidence of things unseen. The courage to defy the world, to stand against it. To defy its powers. And to rejoice even in its persecutions. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, this wicked, evil world. It's a faith that enables Christian men and women to sing in prison cells and in dungeons. and to sing even as they're being burned alive by rabid Muslims. It's a faith that overcomes. It conquers the world. It has conquered the world, is John's meaning. It has conquered. We're not believing, looking for victory, for conquest. We already have it. It's already overcome. And we live by faith. Out of that victory, that conquest that Jesus brings to us when we believe. So the victory promised to faith, this is the fruit of faith, the victory. Yeah? One and only one way that a guilty man, you know, can out of that sin and guilt and shame and blame, you know, is from the sheer grace of God. Set before you this morning, offered to you here this morning. I mean, what more? What can you add to the word free? No religious hoops to jump through, without money, without price, the prophet says. You just come to me, says Jesus. You just come to me. I do all the rest. Just come to me. And you enjoy peace with God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, eternal life, and the assurance one day of heaven that when you close your eyes in death, you will not behold the fearful judge of all the earth. You'll behold your Savior waiting to welcome you with open arms into eternal glory. But to receive this faith, to exercise this faith, we say, how? Well, it's a gift. And how do you get a gift? You just simply receive it. It's all a gift from beginning to end. But God's made us rational human beings, you know. He doesn't treat us like stocks and blocks, you know. Jonah came to see his need and cried out to the Lord. Hezekiah saw his need and cried out to the Lord. Maybe a crisis. For a lot of people, it's a crisis that brings them to this place. But just simply the need. I need to believe. Lord, help me. Yeah. We had the story of a man, and he was a regular church attender, and he's in church Sunday night, and the gospel's preached, and he gets up to go out, and the minister's at the door there waiting to shake people's hands. And he says to the minister, he says, sir, he said, please tell me, be honest with me, he said, tell me, he said, do you, if I was to die tonight, do you think I would be in heaven? And the minister answered him honestly. He said to him, sir, he said, I do not have that conviction. The man went home, and he got on his knees, and all night long, he cried out to God. All night. And when the dawn broke in the morning, God came to him. And he was born of God. In the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, the father had to be the one who cast the first stone at the profane son. You be the first person to cast a stone at your unbelief. Condemn yourself. The man comes to Jesus, Mark chapter 9, he has a son full of evil. Help us, Lord, if you can do anything, help us. If thou canst believe, says Jesus, all things are possible to him that believeth. He cries in return, he says, I believe, help my unbelief. Let me paraphrase that. The man comes to us, he's coming to the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He says, I'm in need, I've got this need. He says, can you help me? Can you, the Son of God, can you help me? And the answer is given to him, in effect, Jesus is saying to him, what do you mean, can I help you? That's not the question. The question is, can you believe? Because if you can, everything is possible. So what does he do? He cries, Lord, then give me the faith that I need. Give it me. I believe. Help my unbelief. Deny yourself. Submit your mind and your thoughts to God's word and to his and obedience as much as is in you to do so. Consider your true state as you were conceived and born into this world a sinner. Cast away all the filthy rags of your own righteousness that are acceptable to God. Accuse yourself. For God says, when you read his word, that you were born in sin. Yes, Lord, that's me. And you read it as what all have sinned and come short of his glory. Yes, Lord, that's me. Accuse yourself. Let go of all human help because there's no man, there's no minister can do this for you. Acknowledge the righteous justice of God. Get focused. The psalmist, he says, Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing, he says, one thing only have I desired of the Lord. But he doesn't just desire it. He doesn't just sit there, oh, it would be nice, you know, if I had this, you know, and this one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. He desires it and he seeks it. One thing, singular. Won't take no for an answer. Right? And when you believe, he who believes has new life. Has that new life? Is a new creature, born again, no longer of the world. All's forgiven, healed, ransomed, restored, forgiven, inseparable from the love of God for time and for eternity, not ruled. No longer ruled by the world, but ruling the world. Huh? This is the faith that overcomes the world. It rules the world. It's not ruled by the world. You're Christ's prophet, priest, and king. It's not a faith that withdraws itself into a monastery. It's a faith that takes you out into that world. Yeah? Living, powerful, courageous faith. Like these heroes that we've read. Like these courageous Christians in Pakistan and India and elsewhere. Iran. It's a love that constrains, the love of Christ that constrains you in the face of the hatred and violence that the world will afford you. It's the power to conquer through Christ. In Christ, in him, because it's all of him and it's all from him. Out of him there's nothing. In him is everything. Everything you need, the repentance, the faith, everything that's required, it's all in Christ. You come to Christ, you go to Christ, and he gives it all to you. And what don't you understand by give, by take, by receive? Ask a child. How do you receive a gift? Well, Mr. Preacher, you just do what I do. Just reach out your hand and take it. Yeah. Came to his own people, but they didn't receive him. That's why they're still in trouble today. always in trouble. They rejected him. But to those who did receive him, those who did believe on his name, he gives the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, born of God. He gives the faith, he sustains the faith. So the struggle, the war, you know, it's the salvation of our souls that we're talking about. Christ and his glorious kingdom and entrance into it. He's done the conquering, he's done the living, the loving, the dying, the rising from the dead. He's done the hard bit. Leaves you nothing to do but come to him. Only believe, he says. Only. But it's a huge, it's a big only. Only believe, that's all. I do the rest. And his conquest, he's conquered the world. And in him, you have the conquest too over the world. He's Zion's king, Psalm 2, the anointed of the Lord. And soon he's coming. Paul tells us in flaming fire with vengeance, with his holy angels in vengeance against those who do not know God, in a loving relationship, that is, knowing him, and who obey not the gospel, but coming to be glorified in his saints, in his people, in all who believe, who are born of God, who believe in Jesus. Victory, victory, the world's world conquest is set before you. The world around you, about you, and the world in you. Yeah? How to get the victory, how to get it out of you, how to overcome it, how to get into the kingdom of God. You take the gift that's offered to you. And then from that point on, you walk in the gift. The gift of faith, that is. That's offered to you, set before you here this morning, in the grace and kindness and amazing, astonishing generosity of the loving heart of God the Father. Here's my son, take him, he says, and I'll save you. Amen. Let's sing, shall we, as we come to close this morning, hymn number 523. I hear thy welcome.